course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Welcome, ghouls and creeps, to Listen to the Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. Joined as always by our other friend Ike, and today we're joined by another one of our friends, Ethan Henry. Ethan, the director of the upcoming movie Severance Mountain. How you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going, man?
Doing good. We're going to talk about your movie a little bit and about you a little, and let's talk about first. You have, like you said, you have the upcoming movie Severance Mountain due out September 13th. Tell us a little bit about the movie, the premise of the movie, and everything for those who may not know.
It's a movie. It's about a couple that go up to the Adirondacks on Severance Mountain to reconnect after a tragedy. And this guy, Toby's life, his girlfriend passed away. And her friend, they all kind of grew up together. So her friend and Toby decide to meet at Severance Mountain to kind of reconnect and discuss, you know, the whole situation. At the same time, there's some deaths on the mountain. Local police are kind of, or at least one police officer is trying to track down why this is happening. Her boss thinks it has to do with inexperienced hikers and people, traveling to the area. But there's a sinister reason why these people are running into their demise. And without saying too much, that's how the story unfolds with those guys up there and these people trying to track down what's happening. So leads us on the path of Severance Mountain.
There you go. Like I said, we try to urge her. We put this out audio and video. We try to urge everybody to watch the video too. But you get that. That's a pretty killer shirt there. For the movie, there.
Yeah. If you want a shirt, let me know. I'll send you some stuff. I've got a whole new batch of merch coming this week, and trying to send it out to anybody that wants to support and share and wear. You know.
Hell yeah, yeah. We're all about that. We will. Yeah. We'll connect.
That's awesome. Well, and obviously, as a creator of horror, you obviously must be a fan of horror. So tell us how that started. For, you know, Dave and I, it started years and years ago, of course, but tell us your story with that.
Well, the funny thing is I'm a sci-fi thriller kind of, like, I love alien type stuff. Right. Aliens and the whole idea of these things that might come into your house at night and mess with you is horrific to me. That is terrifying. I remember when I was a kid, I was at a friend's house, I think Friday, no, it was Nightmare on Elm Street. It came out and someone was like, explaining to me how they made it look and everything. And I was just like, well, this is a different shot. This is a different shot. They have the same body. They're peeling here. They do this. They put the blood here. And it was just intriguing to me. So, and obviously I'm almost 50. So I'm into all that old 80s, you know, horror. Then I discovered Evil Dead. And Evil Dead's like one of my all-time favorites. I actually made a replica Necronomicon. My son makes these Necronomicons. And I love the action horror comedy vibe of Ash, Evil Dead, Sam Raimi, and all stuff. So, and I do enjoy modern horror, but I personally like things kind of real. So my inspiration came from, I do tattoos, and I tattoo tons of people, and I hear these crazy stories, and some of them are so crazy and fantastic. So sometimes the scariest things are like these real stories of these situations. Yeah. And so when I filmed this, I didn't want it to have a lot of like happy moments, like where, oh, someone's in love and this happens. It's an indie film that I got to have control of. I co-wrote it with a friend of mine, Melissa Hunt. She loves horror movies, so she kind of steered things in this direction, and I kept my vision of how I wanted it to be. So just being a writer, just loving, I think horror movies, if they're done right, in a real setting, it can be really, really scary. And I like to think that's what we did with Severance Mountain. So it's more just based listening to these real stories and biting off all these ideas and showing our influences a little bit here and there and say, hey, I did like that. Oh yeah, that looks familiar, right? Because I think it's cool too. So there's these little things. So hopefully we sprinkle it in there the right way, you know?
Yeah, and this is completely unprompted, but I'm wearing an Evil Dead shirt. Yeah. I got my boomstick.
I got an Ash tattoo right there. I hope you can see it.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, I mean, I'm in. I'm all in.
Yeah. Yeah, you touch on something Ike and I talk about a lot is, supernatural stuff and killers or whatever. That's scary, right? And everybody else. But Man, the scariest, creepiest stuff is that stuff where you believe, hey man, this could happen, right?
Yes.
This could really happen. And that's what makes it terrifying. That's why, man, what's a gosh shit, what's the movie I always talk about? The
Oh, the
shoot.
strangers.
Yeah, The Strangers. The original Strangers terrifies me because I'm like, dude, that could happen. I mean, I'm like, that's why it's the scariest stuff.
So Melissa came up with the tagline, the scariest monsters are the humankind.
Yeah.
Because and in my mind when she said that, I was like, wow, that is awesome. She had it that she's like, I want to put this in something. And I think of this story, and I tell it every time I talk on one of these shows. I tell the story. So I heard, I don't know where I heard, I can't remember if it happened to someone I knew or what, but some guy was shopping in a store, and he was on one side, and there was someone behind him. They didn't know each other, no current relationship, beef, interaction, just didn't know each other. The guy behind him turns around, stabs him in the neck, and kills him. And the video, there was no altercation, there was nothing, just this guy snapped and killed him. When I think scariest monsters are the humankind, that kind of stuff can happen. So when we were developing Severance Mountain, we decided to film it. It's all filmed in the daytime. Like you could go up to a trail with your family during the day. Oh, it's safe up there. We're in the woods, you know, all the animals are sleeping and all the psychos aren't out yet, right? So everything happens. You see these people, you see the killer, you see everything happen kind of, and it's not like a John Wick fantastic, oh, you get shot 20, survive. I mean, we have our moments, but like for the most part, things happen and you might not make it, you know? And so when we filmed it, that's I wanted to capture that because I felt like real when you see something real, it almost doesn't look as fantastic as a movie can make it look. Sometimes that simple, real, scary, it hits harder.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And you're obviously a creative guy, right? You said you own a tattoo parlor and everything else, but what made you decide to express yourself and dive into filmmaking?
I always thought it was cool. Ever since I was young, me and my friends would drive around in the cars. We'd make up these characters and we'd build a whole world. And no one really knew, you know, we're dogs chasing our tails. We didn't know how to develop it or where it would go, what it meant. We would watch like The State or like Kids in the Hall and these little sketch shows. So we had sketch comedies. And then somewhere about, you know, 13, 14, we started filming our own little skits, you know what I mean, of us doing silly things. And then, I don't know what happened about 13, 14 years ago. I'm in a band and stuff, and I was talking with my bandmates, and I was writing some lyrics, and it just felt like a story. So I wrote it into a story. I wrote a script. I never wrote a script before, you know? And it was, I like this. Let's film it. So we got a camera. I said, let's, remember we used to film it. Let's film it like a movie. Let's see what's up. So we filmed this whole thing and we went through it and I just loved it. And I was like, man, I could do better. And it just kind of snowballed from there. You know what I mean? I could do better. I could do better. Let's get the shot better. Let's get the lighting better. Let's bring people in to know more stuff. And until we ended up where we are now, when I met John Sobey from Sobes Media, he's the DP on my movie. He just captures like high quality footage. And I remember when I met him, I said, what, me and this dude, I said, his eye and like my ideas, I think we could do some great stuff. And he's been working with me for the last 5, 6 years on different projects. It just kind of just snowballed. Once I knew I could do it, I tried harder, a little bit better. You know, it just it's the drive to do it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously that drive is incredibly important for every aspect of the creative process, you know. And you like you mentioned already, you helped write the movie as well, right? And has writing always been an interest of yours, or is that something that kind of came more recently?
I've always been a dreamer. And I've always told fantastic stories ever since I was in like first grade. I think I tried to convince one of my teachers I had a giraffe, and I had this whole story on, yeah, no, I got a giraffe at home. Yeah, it's in the backyard. Where, how you feed it? Oh, it's feeding it. I made up the story, and I've always just been really good at like these fantastical stories and these ideas. And so I wrote the original concept for Severance Mountain, and then I later I got introduced to Melissa Hunt, and we decided, hey, I said, do you want to rewrite this with me? You know, I think it needs something, you know. So it was really cool to have her perspective and work with her. And we developed, I think, a pretty cool story, a pretty demented story. I've had people watch it say it's a little disturbing. I actually just watched it with some friends of mine from Wisconsin who have no reason to flatter me with anything about it. And when we were done, the movie was done. I said, okay, it's over. Like, what do you think? Is it just, it's, it, it, sometimes real life isn't happy. Sometimes real life doesn't give you a break. And so I really wanted to represent that. So, with us collabing on the writing and the way I've envisioned this scary world. It was pretty cool to have the other mindset in there. Because I'm a dude and I might write one way, and Melissa, she kind of had a different perspective. She got to see it from the girl side. So like some things where I might not get it and I wrote it a different way, she got to kind of say, no, this is what she would probably do, or this is probably what would happen. And so like we got to really bounce that around and create something that I feel like, hit, it was a little more diverse, hit more of an audience, you know?
Yeah, I'm always fascinated with people's creative processes. And so tell us just a touch where you said you're a dreamer, right? An ideal guy. Yep. So when something pops to you, do you think like with this, per se, when you said you had the ideal for Severance Mountain, did you have the overall view? Did you have okay, I want these kind of killers? Did you have the ideal of I want this finish, this ending? And how do we get there? How does that ideal come to you?
Or is it just different? It all depends. Like a lot of times, I write for what I have. So it's kind of like Chopped, right? I open the basket and they give me this, 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 and this. Now you got to make a dinner out of this, right? So when I'm writing at this level, because I self-finance and stuff, and which means, you know, I don't really spend a whole lot of money. I ask people to do favors. Like you might say, yeah, I'll be in your movie. And then I talk to you enough. I kind of know how you act. So when I write a character, I say, I'm going to write it for him. Because I'll talk to someone enough to pick up their mannerism. So, and when it comes to the story part of it, a lot of times I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be fucked up if this dude did this? Or wouldn't it be like crazy if this happened? Like no one's ever done it, you know? And so sometimes it's just that, you know? And everything I wrote, usually I know how the ending is going to be roughly. It's just filling in the blank. And so, I've been pretty good with some of my other scripts. There's not a lot of dialogue in this. There is, but it's not as, I don't do Tarantino style dialogue, but a lot of my movies have a lot of information coming out. And so this particular one was a nice experiment. Like it was right after COVID. my DP, John Sobey, was like, hey man, write a script that has like two actors, two locations. We don't have to spend a lot of money. We don't have to do a union project. What can we do? And so that's where Severance Mountain was born. And again, evolved with Melissa, and we ended up writing the script that we used together. And it was a test to see what can we pull off with the resources that we had and the community that we had with the actors and talent that we had and the time that we had. And I'm pretty proud of it. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's a disturbing, unique horror flick that has just enough of familiar, you know, imagery and characters to where people can gravitate towards it. But again, I've had people say it's disturbing, and I like that. It's got a dark cruise the whole time. You know what I mean? And I think that's cool. It's fresh.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and me and Dave, obviously, we love horror movies. I love disturbing movies. I like to kind of push the envelope with myself, right? I like to see, you know, how much like mental abuse can I just give myself with a movie? So movies like Terrifier or, you know, Human Centipede, or even, you know, The House that Jack Built, you know, there are different types of disturbing. So yeah. when you were creating this movie, were there any movies that inspired you to basically give you the concept of Severance Mountain?
I'm in a band. I write a lot of music for my band. And I write a lot of different scripts. Ignorant Horse Productions is my company. I like Ignorant Horse Productions because I jokingly say I'm ignorant to the place that I'm at with everything. Like sometimes I write comedy, sometimes I write action, sometimes I write sci-fi, sometimes I write horror. But when I write, like for my band, I try to listen to anything. I literally will go silent, and the only thing I listen to is my guitar when I'm playing it or whatever. So I try not to be too influenced. So when I wrote this, I didn't want to be influenced by anything. And I just tried to empty my head. So that way I tried to create something. If it's like something else, it's accidental. Because I want it to be fresh. I'm always going to bite from something. But I wanted it to be ours. You know what I mean? Like I didn't want to kill her with a mask. So we you have a different, you know, different kind of killer, you know. I didn't film anything at night. You know, there are a couple things, but nothing at night. It's all during the day. You know what I mean? So, like, you see this stuff. You see the killer. You see this person's eyes. And it brings a different real kind of element to it. So it's just I try not to bite too hard so that way I can do my best to create original content. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And so when you were filming, when you were shooting, where did you shoot it? And how long did it take you to film the movie?
We started filming in what, 2022, I think it was. Maybe it was 2021. I can't remember. We started developing it, but it took about 2.5 years all said and done because I did a lot of the stuff. Now, I didn't do anything myself. Obviously, I have a team of people. There's so many people that helped me along the way. But, you know, I wrote the original concept, then I rewrote it with Melissa. I drew the storyboards. I made the special effects. I recruited Melissa and I said, hey, make some guts and some blood. And she drove from Georgia up with this fake blood and these guts in her car, her husband. And, but I had to do a lot of this stuff myself. I couldn't afford to pay people. And I was kind of too picky, to be honest with you. So like I did a lot of this stuff myself. So it took a little longer. I edited it. I did the score. I wrote all the music for it. A buddy of mine gave me one song. I used it in there. It's a really cool song. But everything else I had written, I did all the Foley myself. Like I was in my kitchen making sound stuff and doing stuff. So it took a little longer than it should have, but it was because of what we had available. I was trying to make this for as little as I could. I wanted to look as high quality as it could. And it just takes time. And without a team, with a big team, we have a team, but without a big team who specializes in these things, about 2.5 years, all said and done, you know, we would film in the summer. I'd watch it in the fall. I'm like, shit, we got to refilm that. That doesn't look right. And then I'm like, damn it, I'm in Northern New York. So then wait till spring, rewrite, figure out, okay, what are we going to do? Watch it a million times, then go back and we film again. Okay, cool. Edit it, fall again, the leaves have changed. I'm like, damn it, we got to do another scene. So it was kind of that for a couple of years.
That's amazing. Not that it took that long, but it's always funny when we hear those stories about the production and like trying to keep things close to like that original concept. And it's always interesting because we talked to Rye Barrett, who was from the film In a Violent Nature. And he basically was explaining that like, and it's something you don't think about, but if you take so much time to film, you got to make sure that you have the foliage right and you got to make sure that it's the right time of season. And it's just something you don't think about watching the movie, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. In a Violent Nature, I heard about that shortly because I talked to my lawyer and someone said, hey, is this your movie? I'm like, what do you mean? Because we had wrapped original production in 2021, I think it was. And then I saw it and I'm like, it has some similar like aspects. I trailer wise, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I'm like, and we had entered a bunch of film festivals. I'm like, who made this movie? This is so crazy. But it's, I always feel like things tend to move together. Like people start creating accidentally that are very similar. Like in music, you'll hear like 10 bands that come from all over the world that sound the same. You'll see a bunch of similar pictures, even though they never met. And it's cool. It was actually one thing that I was like, well, this movie's getting a lot of buzz and it's going really well. I know they did the IFC and they had some people backing them. We're fully independent. Everything is my company distributing it through me. And I started a distribution. And so, it's really cool though, to see that stuff. I haven't actually watched it. I've been so wrapped up with what I'm doing here, but, it's cool to see like a movement kind of happening in this indie kind of realm and people doing similar things. Cause it makes me feel like, okay, there's something. I think the universe is saying, hey, put this out there. People want this, you know?
No, absolutely. But you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the filming, the creative process, but the biggest thing for any horror movie are the effects, the kills, the gore. What can fans expect from this movie in terms of the kills and gore in the movie?
Well, everything is practical. Everything is totally real. I didn't do a lot of research when it came to how do I make this. I just thought, does this look believable to me? Does this look cool to me? And being an artist, I was super, you know, critical about like anything that would happen. There's one shot where a limb had disconnected from a body and it wasn't supposed to. And it was the only one I had. It was leaking blood everywhere. We had to put it back in. I was like, oh, keep going. And so we just kind of worked it out. And then I sent it out to a guy in the Ukraine. He's actually in Kyiv, when they were getting bombed by Russia back a couple of years ago, and working on my film, saying, hey, "I'm sorry, he wouldn't get to me for hours." He'd be like, "Hey, sorry." He's like, "I was in a bomb shelter for the night because we got like 20 different raids, and they said, I'm gonna work on it tonight, then go upstairs and work on it, go back into the bomb shelter." I'm like, "This is crazy story this dude's doing." And so that was the only thing, and we just needed to look like it was still connected. And I'm glad we did it, but I didn't want to do anything like that, but it needed to be done. But aside from that, it's all practical. So when we do it, it's all stuff that we made on site. I prepped for it. I made sure it worked right. And a lot of repurposing of different things. Like, it was cool. So the gore is more realistic. It's more, a lot of my stuff is situational. A lot of the stuff when you're there, it's like it's just a messed up situation. And when you see it unfold, it's like watching like a UFC fight and someone's got someone in an arm bar and they're getting ready to break their arm. I'm like, don't do it. I want to see it, but I don't want to see it. Oh, no. Then it, kind of like that. I kind of tried to capture that, pulling those strings to kind of like make it feel a little more like it's happening right there. Like it's a little bit more real, you know?
Yeah, and you mentioned that, Melissa brought up some blood and guts with her and whatever it is. So were the effects, was that pretty much just you and her? I mean, did you do the most of that?
Yeah, so I pretty much did most of it. I mean, I made all anything, any body or any body part. Like I said, repurposed some. I had old props, some spirit Halloween, like a hand that looked really, you know, they look really corny, but they're kind of cool. And I would take them apart and I'd repaint them. I'd glue fingernails on them and I'd make the meat look better. I'd make the bones look better. I'd make them look realistic. And it was a nice way, with a tight budget, to kind of get a perfect looking hand, but just detail it out where they fell short. So I did a lot of stuff like that, which was cool, but there was a lot of spray foam was used, and spray foam in my world, like when it comes to that stuff, like as long as I'm not touching it, visually looks awesome. So, you know, spray foam saved the day and you know, corn syrup and stuff. So
yeah. Good old corn syrup. I can't beat it.
Not good. It's not cool when it's on you, though. I mean, I had this one time where I was pouring gallons at a guy, and I made it so thick that it was starting to like turn into candy, and like his like dude, I can't even move. I'm like, freaking free. It'll work. But it was cool. It was fun.
That's amazing. All right, so we actually talked about this already, but you know, one of the taglines we saw for the movie was the scariest monsters of the humankind. And like we said, we've always thought the scenarios and villains who are actually realistic or like that. So obviously you mentioned that this was kind of your thinking behind the killers within the movie. I guess to kind of add to that, one of the most terrifying things to me, because I'm a true crime buff, is, you know, actual like real life murderers, you know, your Ted Bundys, you know, your TDKs and everything else. Were there any inspirations like in that realm where you're like, let's try and make these like similar to like serial killer, or, you know, what was kind of that developmental process for the killers?
Well, you know, it sucks because my killers, I think, got some pretty cool, weird, creepy things, and I don't want to reveal too much about that killer. So it's hard. I think everything that has happened, I think, might be some weird little fear that I had or Melissa has had. So like, it's all kind of like things that could like happen, not in a supernatural world, things that could happen relatively quick, like in a situation like that, like a dude could pull you aside and who knows, he might cut your guts out. You know what I mean? Or he might cut your arm off. A lot of it is rage based, like just it's just a little bit violent. I just wanted it to feel like, I didn't want it to be so over the top. Like some modern movies are like, when you see someone get stabbed, you'll see blood splatter against the screen and it looks digital. Or you'll see like just limbs flying and all this crazy stuff. And I mean, real life just isn't like that. It's a little more subtle than that. And sometimes it had to be the situation. So when it leads up to the moment, I want people like, oh, you know, it's like they're watching a train wreck, you know, you can see it coming and you can't stop it. And so it was more, everything that I wrote was more maybe inspired by things like the true crimes, maybe inspired by these stories that I heard, but things that like, you know, there's a story. I worked in Melbourne, Florida. I lived there back in the 90s. And one time this guy, the boss was pissed because he said, this dude came into work. He's like, I'm sorry, he's like, you want to hear a real problem? He's like, my son just got arrested last night because they found a body in the back of his truck and they can't find the head. And I'm like, and that just that statement alone, just this weird thing. I mean, how long did it take to cut off the head? Where's the fucking head? Like, it's just this weird, terrifying thing. But it was so subtle that dude's just driving around with a body in his car. And that I wanted to capture like that kind of vibe. Like, what was this dude thinking? Was he just going about his day? Like, was it normal for him? And one little thing I'll say about my killer is, yeah, the story's messed up. It's demented. Yeah, it has a dark, it's like going down the rabbit hole. It feels like it doesn't really get any better, right? And when it ends, I don't think it feels any better. Depending on the lens. If you're looking through the eyes of the killer, he's having a great time. He's having the best day of his life. He's making friends. He's playing. So it really, I wanted it to be more from that perspective. And so like if you look, he's having a successful hunt. He's having a successful day. So it depends on the lens you're looking through. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Right.
there's always that perspective, right? The best villains don't think they're villains, right? They're just doing their thing, and they're misunderstood in their eyes. I mean, or maybe, or they don't know what they're doing is bad, or don't think what they're doing is bad.
And that's exactly it. Like a little mental health and an axe. I mean, it can go a long way.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about the release of Severance Mountain, right? We heard the date, September 13th. Is that a correct date? Yep. How would they be able to watch it?
We'll be on Amazon, iTunes, Apple TV, Google Play. I think Google and YouTube are connected. And it'll be for rent or purchase. I think maybe I th we might do a small limited like theater run in some across the US. I'm not sure if I'm gonna actually do that yet. That would be a couple weeks after the movie came out digitally. But right now that's where it's gonna be. Amazon, iTunes, Apple TV, Google Play.
Yeah, so a lot of your typical video on demand platforms.
Yep. Good stuff.
You know, and you kind of mentioned, all the creative process, everything, from basically the inspiration to, getting it on paper to getting it on film, talking about the release. But what's next for you as far as film goes? I mean, do you have any future projects or ideas that you're developing?
Yeah, I actually just kind of in my head wrote a second part to this because there's a part of me that feels like, I think there's a lot more to the story that could be really cool, and with a bigger budget, I could really hit some bigger marks. Where we did fall short, was a lot of time constraints, a lot of money constraints, and I did use a lot of local talent and stuff. So I would love to tell more of the story if the opportunity presented itself. But I do have some stories that I've been working on for a few years, and they're like ready to go. I've already got my line budget. I don't have the money lined up yet, but I've got my budget ready to go. I know what it's going to cost. I've got some talent in mind. I've got some actors, some union actors signed on for a couple of different things that we've already worked on in the past. So I've got a few things. I've got like a pilot for TV show I made, and I've got locations that I've locked in. So it's really just I need to get through this first because I'm involved in every step of the way. And that's, again, not uncommon for indie film. This is what you do. You gotta help it grow legs. So so I'm just gonna keep pushing this. And once feedback starts coming in, I want to see where it's making waves and see who's talking about it. And then I'll figure out which one I'm gonna go with because it could be Severance Mountain 2. You know what I mean? It could be continuing the story if people really want it. Or it might be one of these other scripts that I'm really proud of and I'm stoked to do too. So, who knows? But they're there. They're ready. I'm ready.
Yeah, well, and one creative outlet that we know of, right, is like you've mentioned, you're in a band. They call it, is it Freya? Is that how you say it?
Yep, Freya. Yep.
Freya. And if I looked right, your latest album's called Fight as One.
Yes, sir.
You guys, we know when we talked about booking that you guys have been out in support of that. We had to kind of work around, some of your travel and, thanks for that. So just tell us a little bit about that, because there's a lot of crossover, right? And a lot of crossover with the fandoms, and it's particularly horror. But with horror and music, and there's lots of Lots of overlap there. So tell us, just plug your band a little bit.
So I joined Freya back in 2004. I was in another band before that, and Freya was formed by members of a band called Earth Crisis. They're a vegan straight edge band from like the 90s that were pretty big. They're still a band. And Carl Buechner, Eric Edwards, and Ian Edwards, they started Freya. I joined to kind of help out and fill in for a little bit. And then within 6 months to a year, I joined full time. I was there until about 2007. We've been to Europe. We were on Victory Records for about 10 years. And we've had videos on MTV. Like we were on Road Rules, Room Raiders. Most recently, we had a song on Shameless, season three, I think, or something like that. And so we've been kind of staying in the mix. We just recently, we took about 7 years off, came back out, and we're kind of hitting the road. Like tomorrow, we're playing in New York City at the Bowery Electric. It's right up where the old CBGBs used to be. And Area 5, Concrete Ties. It's a free show if anybody's in the area. You know what I mean? I know that this is probably going to air different, but we are, we're out there pushing it, man. I'll be hitting the Northeast in September. Just making videos and pushing it. I'm actually cross promoting because I'm going to be on tour for a couple of weeks while the film was released. So during that time, I'm giving t-shirts out. I'm giving like stickers out. We have all sorts of stuff that we're doing to promote it. We're doing YouTube promotions and stuff. And we have an Instagram. I think it's Severance Mountain Movie. I'm on Instagram and ignorantourproductions.com. You can find right now we're only promoting this movie. I have a lot of things, but I'm focusing on this first. And hashtag I Survive Seventh Mountain is something we're trying to push right now too. So if you're on Instagram or wherever, you would hashtag. And yeah, man, I'm trying to utilize both worlds to kind of spread the word, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, being a band and sometimes movies need music, so this is a perfect time. Did you provide any music for the movie with your band?
I was going to, like, I couldn't find a song that would work. And because I had this dark tone throughout the whole thing, I thought, oh, I'll put this one song. We have a song that we're pushing. Our record label Upstate, I'm sure would have loved it too. But I didn't want to do it. I felt like there's a fine line between linking it all together and forcing something. And I didn't really have anything that really worked. Since then, we've actually wrote a song. We have a single coming out on the 23rd called Bloodthirst on Upstate Records. It'll be on iTunes everywhere. That song would have been great. I wrote it after the movie, and my singer put the word lyrics to it. So in the future, you'll see me doing that. And I'll be more mindful of, okay, hey, listen, I wrote this movie. Let's write a song for it. We'll put it in the end credits, put it in the fight scene, whatever. So in the future, I'll be a little more prepared for it. But things started happening so quick, and my band started moving quick again. And I was like, oh, shit. It all just kind of, it didn't really line up properly. And I didn't want to force it. I wanted it to be organic.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap this up, Ethan, because like you said, you carved out a little piece of time for us, and we don't want to keep you. But again, the movie Severance Mountain, it'll be available on Friday, September 13th. Yes, Friday the 13th. Perfect. Going to be video on demand, as we mentioned. One more time, just in case anybody didn't catch it, what's the best way for them to follow the movie on social media to keep updated on that?
I think it's Severance Mountain Movie on Instagram, hashtag I Survive Severance Mountain. We have a Facebook. If you look up Severance Mountain, maybe Severance Mountain Movies on there. And you can always, I think we have links on ignoranttouristproductions.com. That's my company. That's our website. And it has a link to all the stuff on there. And we try to link all these shows and these things that we're doing. So if they want to know more information, I post up on my Instagram, EthanHenry43. So you can always follow there too. And, yeah, we're just trying to push it. There might be a TikTok out there that has something to do with Severance Mountain, but it's usually Severance Mountain movie. Yeah. And hashtag I Survive Severance Mountain, ignorantourproductions.com.
Yeah, anybody interested? Your band's out there on social media as well. I know you're, like you said, you're on iTunes. I found you on Spotify. So you're out there in all those. So you can look up Freya if you're interested in exploring that. Support both sides. Ethan, thank you for your time. Maybe we'll touch base again. After the movie's released, and talk about it a little bit.
Yeah,
if you're serious about having some swag laying around, what's the best way that we can connect with you?
You're on Instagram, right?
Uh huh.
You send me a private message on my Instagram, EthanHenry43 on Instagram, say, hey, what's up, man? And I'll get to you this week and next week. I'll be sending stuff out to people. So I'll send you a little care package of some different sizes. And all I ask is you wear it, rock it, and tell people.
Definitely.
That's it.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be, you'll see it on our social media and we'll get it out there. Yeah. But,
And I'll do the
all
same.
right. Yeah. Cool. Again, thank you, Ethan, for the time. I know you're a busy, busy dude. Lots going on. Appreciate you making time and, looking forward to the movie. And like I said, when it's out, we'll connect again somewhere on social media, see if we can't carve out another chunk of time and plug it a little more.
I love it, man. I appreciate it.
Go make some art. And
yeah.
All right. And thank you to Ethan Henry for giving us your time, man. What a fun dude. So many of these people, man. I mean, well, like a lot of us, man, that have a creative side, just, you know, different avenues, man, you like to explore. And he's definitely out there doing lots of things, man. It's very, very cool. Man, I'm looking forward to the movie. Pretty cool. I he had me at practical effects, man. I love, I mean, obviously, you know, that's the best way to go, right? I mean, he's not like, you know, but I'm sure he didn't have the budget for CGI, but, man, it doesn't matter. Practical effects are the way to go. And, yeah. I'm cool. Cause he's, you know, he sounds like he's got something pretty creative brewing here and talking about, you know, this dark, dark aspect of it. And, kind of a realistic aspect, and that's pretty exciting. It's super creepy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and this is probably one of the more unique interviews that we've done, because this is the first time we've ever done an interview with someone where we've not seen the movie yet. So, yeah. You know, it's different, because when you go into an interview having seen the finished product already, you can talk about it, right? You can kind of have that conversation about, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what's going on. But this one was, you know, we've never seen Severance Mountain. Severance Mountain isn't even available quite yet. So it's like, you know, we're operating off of just the bare bones information. So it was very, very, I mean, it was fun. It was fun getting to hear him pitch it and like talk about it. And he's very passionate about this, which is, you know, fantastic, because and not no diss to anyone else. But sometimes after the movie's released, you lose a little bit of that steam, you know, but I feel like he has that, like that energy, because he's like, we need to get this going. Let's push, 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 you know, and I'm super stoked for it. You know, I love the human aspect of horror. That's something that a lot of people, you know, you have the supernatural, you have ghosts, demons, aliens, you know, what have you. But the human aspect, the human element of horror is by far, by and large, the scariest aspect of horror. And like you said, practical effects never hurt.
No. Yeah. No, I'm super excited. Like I said, he sounds like a super creative guy. Knows what he's doing here. And again, like you said, there's a lot of energy to seeing this on the build up, right? I mean, as we're recording, we're slightly under a month away from that release. So he's really down the home stretch here. Of making sure that, you know, everything's done, everything, the final touches are on, and, you know, in full swing of trying to promote this thing and push this thing. And, you know, it's super exciting to see that energy. And, yeah, there, like you said, once it's released, I'm not saying that they're done with some of that process, but there's that, oh, you can breathe a little, cause oh, we've got it. It's out. And, no, he's very much just bam, I'm still doing this thing while trying to balance his band and his business. And so there's, man, again, we've said this about a couple of our guests, but it's just an infectious energy about him. That's really exciting. And we've always said it all the time, and it's, you can feel their passion, and you can feel their, how invested he is in this project. He's not doing it just because, oh, I got to make this kind of movie because that's what I should do. This is, you know, this is his baby that he's, yeah, fighting and clawing and scraping and doing, like he said, he's involved in everything to see this to fruition. And that's contagious, and it's exciting. And, you know, it's relatable for lots of people, you know, like even us with different kinds of avenues and content. It's us too, right? We do all of our own stuff, and we're, you know, and it's cool. I can't wait to see the movie. I'm looking forward to it. And, even if we don't have a spot to do a full review on it, we will definitely talk about it, and give a little feedback, and at least do a little bit. And like we said, hopefully touch base with him. And you know, if he you know, so we'll definitely push it on social media. So watch that as it comes down the wire. Super excited. But like we said, no matter when you're listening to this, whether it's way in the future, whatever, when it first drops, whatever, you can always find our next episode on the Thursday following when you're listening to this. Every Thursday, we drop new episodes with our reviews, and then these bonus episodes of interviews, they just drop sporadically as we schedule them and do them. So Ike, before we wrap this up and get out of here, anything else that you want to slip in here?
Oh, thanks again to Ethan for, giving us the time. Like you said, he's very busy. He's balancing, his band, his movie, his business, everything, so we really appreciate him giving us, 40 minutes just to knock out that interview and everything else. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun, and it was great hearing from him and hearing about his creative process. You don't get to hear that a lot of times, but, it was good to sit down and hear it for sure.
Yeah, and we've had a few guests on. And this is the first one where we're trying to work out a date and schedule that. We had the feedback, oh, no, he can't do that date, man. He's got a gig. And so we got to, like, oh, okay, that's cool. And fun stuff, man. Everybody go follow the Severance Mountain on social media. Be prepared, September 13th, to purchase that thing video on demand. If it's after that date then and you're not familiar, go. You still go get it. Go get it and watch it. Give us some feedback. Support Ethan. Give them some feedback. I'm sure he'd love to hear it. Like I said, thanks, Ethan, for coming on. Again, check out our next episode the following Thursday for when you're listening to this, where we will give a review of some movie and talk all of our usual BS and banter that we usually do. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.